Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Christina is a star, and someone wants her dead. This week on the podcast, Nicole Davidson's fan mail.
Welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA Pulp Fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Katai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And this week we are discussing fan mail by Nicole Davidson, sent to us by a listener. We did not keep good records of who sent us this book. We're so sorry. Please take
credit
for it.
Let us know who you are and then we can give you a shout out.
Yeah, because we enjoyed this book. It was a ride.
Quite.
It was a ride.
Quite a ride. Listen, Christina, the choices... not good. It was basically, look, this book wasn't like balls to the wall crazy the entire time. Can you believe that all this shit's happening? It was more like slowly watching your friend make like a really, really bad choice and you're like, please don't do this.
Please stop making these bad choices.
Stop making these choices. Do you hear what you're saying, Christina? Do you hear the words coming out of your mouth right now?
Do you hear how you sound?
Do you hear how you sound? Can I read the back of the book? Because it's quite funny.
Yes.
Just because it's very chaotic. And then you die. Christina shudders. The grim message is scrawled across the script of the horror film in which she stars. Is this someone's idea of a joke? Tomorrow, Christina is playing the death scene. Tomorrow you die. Jagged letters of blood scream from the face of the mirror in Christina's dressing room. Someone has been here. Someone with a sick sense of humor. Tomorrow has come. Death happens in a split second, missing its mark, but leaving Christina to witness the bloody murder. The killer is within striking distance, unseen, unknown, but the message is serious, deadly serious. Today you die.
Very chaotic.
I don't understand the exclamation points. And like, why are they there?
They're headings.
They're headings. Big stylized headings.
It's first, and then you die. Blah, 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 blah. Tomorrow you die. Blah, 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 blah. Tomorrow has come. Da, da, da.
Okay.
Blah, blah,
today
blah.
You die.
Today you die.
Oh, I thought you said tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. I thought if tomorrow is, okay, yeah. I guess
I didn't know time was
come,
passing as we
today.
Were reading it.
Yeah.
So Christina, look,
Christina English,
she's living the dream life. She's so fucking beautiful. She has this dumpy fucking friend,
hair.
Randy.
The constant talk of Randy's plumpness and plainness.
And she's so plain.
Uncalled for.
Well, cause guess what? She
called for
has brown hair, Lindsay.
She has brown hair and she is plain.
Okay, have you ever
chubby,
watched
and
Statlet's Flats?
Worthless. Watch what?
I know, it's hard to understand. Statlet's Flats?
Nope.
What? It is a British show, and it's about this guy named Staff who lets flats, and it's a comedy, and it has the woman that plays, that's in What We Do in the Shadows, and...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like a British comedy. It's on HBO now. But their dynamic of, so she plays his sister and they're like these two Greek immigrant siblings who like work at their dad's. Well, she goes to dance college, but she like part-time works at this like flat rental like agency. And it always opens every episode with him like showing someone this like dog shit apartment that's super expensive and him being like, you know, like trying to explain it away or whatever. It's very funny. But their dynamic is that they both like say like extremely unfunny things and just like laugh. And they're just like, oh my God, you're so funny. Like she'll, her whole thing is that she makes these like really stupid jokes where she'll be like, or she'll just be like one time in she's like, in dance college, we went to dance camp and someone pulled down like my friend's pants and we could or his trousers and we could all see his pants. And then everyone like laughs like really hard. And they're like, that is so funny. And like, that's the dynamic. That was a very long-winded way of me to say that this is, that is the dynamic between Christina and Randy.
Mm-hmm. The joking where it's like someone says something that's like mildly like wry.
Not even that, like not it's even not a noteworthy.
Joke. You couldn't say it was a joke.
It's just a comment.
But it's meant to be a humorous comment. And they're always, oh, the peals of laughter.
Yeah, and they're just encouraging each other. They're like, stop. So I wanted to literally read a moment so that way you could understand. So this is on page 5. And this is, they're discussing, sorry, I just glanced at it. They're discussing Christina's acting / modeling career, because Christina's very beautiful and blonde. And her friend is very dumpy and brown hair, Randy. So, acting is just the most important thing in my life. She grinned to let her friend know she was joking. Randy studied her doubtfully.
Well, just remember, you already have a super modeling career. I'd chop off both my arms to pose for the cover of 17 like you did.
That would make a pretty gross cover, Christina pointed out, giggling. Randy laughed along with her.
You're too much.
Like, the fact that they think
you're too much.
That would make a pretty gross cover. And she's like, this is too much. Like, Christina, I'm going to straight up piss my pants right now if you keep making the funniest fucking jokes that I've ever goddamn heard.
I will say that, unfortunately, my bar in these books for what is a funny comment is so very low that when she said that, I was like, I was like, oh, that was an actual, I was like impressed by the actual like observation of like, oh, well, that would be humorous because then you'd be in the like the worst state in which to model.
Oh, Christina, you and point I, out.
That so is, I don't want to say that I was like laughing or like thought it was funny. I'm just saying that like the state of these books where friends laugh together over absolutely nothing is such that that line I was like, oh, that was like an actual, like you put a thought together right with that one. Good job, Christina.
I just think that the reply of you're too much
her, is unacceptable,
because here's the thing, Randy is saying that about herself, because Christina wasn't adding anything to that. She's just saying that would be a pretty gross cover, I guess. I mean, she's being like, oh, I guess like, oh, it's literally you're too much. Like, she's like,
she's not too much. She's,
it's not too much. She's not
much of anything.
Barely enough. Oh, and then this part. What I did like too is that this writer wants us to know that they know how the industry works.
Oh boy, do they know.
Nicole Davidson knows what sides are. Okay.
My favorite was the, they don't call them dailies anymore. They call them rushes.
I was like,
Do they?
Okay. Do they call them rushes? Was that a flash in the pan?
I think
in the 90s?
I hear dailies.
I hear dailies. That part, and then this. Okay, this is part of the same scene where they're just like, I guess, because you know they're still reeling from how funny Christina is. And then she's like, "You want to come over, make sandwiches?"
Poor Randy.
And then Christina's like, "Okay, like the fact that like Christina's like, oh, sorry, I can't make sandwiches at your house because I have to study my sides for my audition." And
I don't understand that offer to make sandwiches
at all.
Hey, do you want to come over and make some sandwiches since the internet doesn't really exist yet?
Hey, do you want to come over and make some sloppy hoagies at my house? We could throw together some meatballs and sauce.
Like, I just, she, like, the portrayal of Randy is so cruel because I guess
it's just like so dismissive of her. Dismissive. It doesn't say anything particularly biting. It truly just keeps saying how plump and plain she is.
Yeah. And by cruel, words. It's just like the certain details that they choose to point out are so like It reminds me of when my mom says something really mean about someone. I'm like, why'd you have to point that out about them? You know, it's like that. Mm-hmm. Where
it's like you didn't need to say that.
Yeah, you didn't have to say that. Like, you didn't have to tell me that.
It's like, oh, mom, can Randy come over? Oh, you mean that plump girl? What?
Yeah.
Why did you need to? Yeah, I guess.
And I
that
mean,
plump the, girl.
And then here's the other thing, right? Like, characters can be fat for sure, right? Like, we've seen that in, oh God, what was that book where the friend was like this, she was a bigger girl and the main character was like, damn, she is so beautiful. And like the only reason that guys don't like her is because she like,
oh yeah, goes yeah, too it was fast. The hospital like, one that we like just read a couple yeah, weeks ago.
The Fever by the Diane Harrell.
Yeah.
Where she was just like, man, I just wish that like my friend didn't like, you know, she's always taking the temperature of a relationship and that's what's, but like there are many times where she was like, wow, she's so beautiful. Like that. So I'm not saying, you know, but the fact that this book also, like, it was just so cruel. Like, it was very cruel. Like, cruel. Just a lot of the characters, it was like, and then his, like, stomach wobbled all over the place. And, like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Because this book was very Hollywood. Hollywood,
mm-hmm,
Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but, so she's like, you want to come over and make sandwiches? and then Christina's like, no, thanks. I have to memorize the sides for my audition tomorrow. And I feel like, okay, but this is a missed opportunity for a joke. Because what if Randy was like, sides? What do you mean, mashed potatoes? Like, what if she said that? Like, mashed potatoes and gravy? And she's like, no, silly. The script pages that Marcia faxed to me.
Oh, like mac and cheese? Because I'm plump?
Well,
it doesn't have to be sandwiches. If you want to make some roasted carrots or something, I'd be down for that too.
Just saying, this if
voice,
we're gonna,
this Randy voice is so heartbreaking.
Because then she's like, "The script page is Marcia faxed me."
Okay, see you tomorrow in school. Okay.
And then this is the other part that like. I think Christina just needs to drop out of school and commit to acting because she does not, she's not interested in school. She doesn't care about school. Randy's
she has
having
no
to do
friends at school.
Double school because Randy mm-hmm. has a teacher. Yeah, she has no friends at school.
Yeah.
Chubby, plain, but brainy president of the Honor Society, Randy, who helped her with homework and coached her before every test when modeling assignments ate up nearly every minute of Christina's afternoons and weekends.
Yep.
Yeah. So, that's
the state of things.
You know, to Randy's credit, though, she's never jealous or like mean or she's just like, oh,
yeah, it's great that you're doing this acting thing. I really hope the best for your career.
And that's it.
She's like, oh, can I come to set and stare at Kurt? He seems so attractive.
So, oh, God,
this Randy voice is killing me.
I'm sorry.
She's like, just so tragic. She's
you're so lucky that you get to do a love scene with Kurt. I just he wouldn't even look twice at a slug like me.
And then Christina's like, don't be mean to yourself. So Randy's never, she's never like jealous or anything. She's
no, Randy's never even a red herring.
No, she's just like,
she's just super supportive of her friend.
Supportive of her friend, enjoys school, and
Steve.
Believes her friend.
On the other hand,
oh God,
Steve, who is literally Christina's stalker,
literally her stalker,
stalking her, taking photos of her unseen,
obsessed with her, comes up with all of these plans,
looks for her at every meet, even though like they don't know each other,
they don't know each other. He insinuates himself at her life at school or at work,
and then it just so happens. The moment where Christina picks him out of the yearbook, I was like, what?
I know. I was like, don't do this, Christina. Christina.
I was like, what are the odds?
The odds that she's like, wow, I don't like, usually go for jocks, but this guy seems like he's got something else going on. He's got his own interests. Like you, Christina. You.
Well, which is what she finds so attractive about him is that he is like her. And like he, so Christina is struggling to.
No, I mean his interest is her.
Oh, I see. Yeah. His interests are wrestling and Christina.
And Christina.
And that is it.
Mm-hmm.
But he does want to be a sports therapist.
Okay, great.
So that's something.
That is, I mean, great.
I mean, it. Luckily, Steve is not insane for Christina because she uses him as a shield to protect her from whoever is stalking her. And I was like, well, you really lucked out that your actual stalker is a really good guy.
Yeah. Well, and here's the problem. This boy
has been collecting photos of you.
Yeah. Because that's the other thing. It's like, yes, you're so lucky that your stalker is a good guy who has been collecting candid photos of you and knowing all of your like whereabouts at all times and insinuating himself into your work. You're so like, it's so, I could not believe that we were supposed to be shipping them because he's her stalker.
Again, these books have broken me, and I was like, I hope they end up together.
No, I was like, every time I was like, feel bad
for Steve.
Oh my God, when the cops were like, it's him, and she's like, no, it's just, what? And they're like, there's pictures all over his locker of you, and like all of this like memorabilia of you, and she's like, well... So, I mean, yeah, that's like not great.
But, which is what I'm doing as the reader. It's like, well, this doesn't look good. But luckily, he's like, not trying to kill you. And we know that. And so it's like he's a red herring and yet not. Because the book is making it very clear that Steve is harmless.
He's completely harmless.
Which is very strange for one of these books. Usually we get, this is the opposite of like. Of the unforgivable red herring. Because he is not made out to be a red herring at all. It's made very clear that this boy who's stalking her is fine. Like, he's so nice. He's so respectful.
Yeah.
He saves her multiple times. But he is stalking her. But we're never meant to think that it might be him.
It's just harmless stalking, you know?
It's just a crush.
This is a book that if I had read it at... you know, 13 or whatever, I would have been like, I guess it's really nice that he like likes her that much. Like, wow.
I wish someone liked me that much.
Yeah, I wish someone would obsess over me that much.
100%.
Because then I would be like, I guess guys that obsess over you and stalk you really just like you a lot.
It just means they care.
Yeah. But in the world of this book, he is not the killer. I mean, it was pretty obvious who the killer. Like, I was like... I know it's not any of these people that are like very obvious. So it leaves this other person. It wasn't like he was acting in a way that I was like, oh, this is the guy. But everyone else was just too much.
I feel like the book lied to us.
Yeah.
About the behavior of the person who it actually was. Because that scene that John has. So I guess we should do.
Yeah, let's do a quick rundown.
Yeah. The culprit is... a fellow named John mm-hmm. Washington,
mm-hmm.
who Christina used to date. So there is a scene where John is eavesdropping on his sister, Beryl.
Oh, right.
I forgot about this. Funniest name.
Mm-hmm. Beryl.
So his sister, Beryl Washington, also wants to be an actress like Christina, also auditioned for a part in this movie. And he's overhearing her talk about one of the only death that actually happens on set. The director's assistant, Amanda, opened a letter meant for Christina that had been set up to explode, and it blew up in her face and killed her. And Beryl's like, yeah, well, either way, whether it was like, whether it was Christina killing Amanda or the letter was meant for Christina, like, hopefully just Christina gets out of there and I get her part. And John's like eavesdropping and watching his sister, and he's like, oh, her blood red nails look like claws. Could she really be so heartless? I'm disturbed. I must warn Christina.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so by the end of the book, when it is him, I'm like, well, what the fuck was that scene?
Okay, hold on. I'm looking at the scene again.
Because I reread it afterwards after the end of the book. I was like, excuse me, what was that scene?
Okay. So she's talking, and she's looking at her nails. Then frowned at them as if dissatisfied with their vivid sheen. They looked to John like an animal's claws, dripping with blood. Uncomfortable with that thought, he shifted his feet. So maybe he's like, you know, doing those like Will Graham, like He's like, ugh. So then the floorboards creak, blah, blah, blah. He's listening. He runs away. Okay. She's making some very macabre jokes. And okay, yeah. John couldn't tell if she was joking or serious. These days, the more he thought about Beryl and the way she was, the more he worried about her. You'd love to see Christina dead, wouldn't you, dear sister? John thought grimly as he stalked back to his bedroom. And his mother, she'd be positively overjoyed. He threw the book on his bed, la la la, and he just stares at the daffodils outside.
It's not lying or anything. It's just like, well, then what? Why was he disturbed?
Yeah.
I guess he's just thinking a lie. Because it makes it out like he's so afraid for Beryl or something.
Right.
It's dancing on the line, I think. In my personal opinion.
The more he thought about Beryl and the more he worried about her. I mean, maybe he's like, you know what? I think it's okay because, so he's like, the more he's thinking about Beryl and the way she was, the more he worried about her. So then he's like, I'm worried about you. So I want to like, because I know that you need to be an actor. And you're not. And so what I'm going to do is you'd love to see Christina dead, wouldn't you? So like, I guess I'll kill Christina or at least.
He's never trying to kill her. It's not a true
right.
Lie. It's not like R.L. Stine. Yeah. But I didn't appreciate it. It also didn't feel to me like an artful misdirect. It just felt like an almost lie.
Yeah. I did like that Christina sleeps in a Phantom of the Opera nightshirt.
Yes, that is funny.
Also, okay, let's talk a little bit about... So Christina auditions for this role. She flubs the audition, but she has this other prepared monologue from Breakfast Club that she does that just like blows them away. So they decide to have her audition for another part, which turns out to be the lead, and she becomes the lead. Opposite Kurt, who is like this amazing, or she actually thinks he's not that good of an actor, but which I actually liked.
I liked it.
He's very famous. He's like this very up and coming guy. And it's going to be in this horror movie that's directed by Driesling, who's this like director that like, if you're in one of his movies, you're probably going to be in like award-winning movies after that. So they're filming it in her hometown. So she gets to shoot. She doesn't have to even travel. And it's this, okay, this part so she gets brought in by the director, when he makes her tell him the plot of the movie, I get that
is so fucking weird.
I get that the author is like trying to come up with a way to like artfully tell us what the plot of the movie is.
This is so much worse than I feel like any other choice she could have made.
It was so...
It's so unnatural.
It's so unnatural. And it also, I mean, I guess he is really hard to work with and is a douchebag and thinks that he's a genius. So, I mean, it's just weird that he's like, I just want to make sure that my actors really understand the role before they even come on. It's like, but...
It makes no sense.
But you already offered her the job. It's
not really a quiz. Do you think that she didn't read the script?
I know.
He's like quizzing her on the plot of the script? That's wild.
Also, she's such a baby.
Yes.
Like, she's so scared of everything. Like, she's scared of this movie that they're watching, which does not sound scary at all.
No. And the fact that she's like scared to even be in the movie.
Yeah. The part when she was like, oh no, they're going to put makeup on me to make me look scary. I'm too scared. The fact that you're scared to have makeup put on you is...
She can't even look at herself after. She's so scared.
Right. And it's not, oh, I'm like, you know, anxious about having to wear all this makeup for a long time because it'll be really hot, or like, it's not that. It's that she's scared to look
scary.
She's
just literally scared.
Ooh. That's like the level of like my mom thinking that Ed Norton's mean because he played the villain in Italian Job. Like
100%. It's like she thinks movies are real.
Yeah. Are you fucking stupid, Christina? You're an actor. You're an actor.
You're literally the one bringing this, like, God. I never believed the director as a red herring. And I never believed way. The assistant Amanda is a red herring either.
No way. I mean, especially when her face got blown off. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't believe either of them. I mean, the director was just like a gross, slimy douchebag. And Amanda was just like, you know, this, I'm going to protect my role as like the assistant to this director. But I felt bad for Christina.
Christina, yeah.
I felt bad for Christina. And this kind of felt real to me of like her male co-star is being just like such a fucking douchebag and like hitting on her. And when she's like,
he is terrible.
He's actively terrible. The part that didn't feel real was him being like, you say no to me, I'm going to like, he wouldn't I'm gonna say make that
your life miserable.
Yeah. He wouldn't say that. He would just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause we've all been there, you know, and that part felt really real to me. And then when she has to do this like love scene with him and he keeps like getting fresh with her, like outside of like, this is why we have intimacy coordinators now. Like,
mm-hmm.
And so he like tries to, and oh, that part when they're in the car together and underneath where the camera, so it's not on in frame, so you can't see it. He keeps grabbing her leg and she's like, can you please not?
Not, yeah.
And the director's like, oh, come on, you need to just act and like let it happen. Like that shit, I was like.
Really gross.
Really gross. And also like she's seen as a problem because she's seen as hard to work with. Because she won't like enable this narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
And that felt very real. So I was like, that actually, Nicole Davidson, you did a pretty good job doing that mm-hmm. part. I felt really bad for Christina there.
Yeah.
But don't worry. She brings her stalker, Steve, to pose as her boyfriend. And he's like, well, maybe we can like hold hands to trick them into thinking we're dating. And she's like, oh my God, yeah. Oh, because, okay, you mentioned this before. The way that she even...
So
she's like, oh, I have this love scene tomorrow with Kurt and I hate him. I'm so disgusted by him. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to picture another boy, but I can't just picture any boy because I need a visual representation. So I'm going to look at my yearbook and I'm going to pick a random boy. This one, oh my God, he's so athletic looking and stalker looking. And I like that about him.
And I appreciate that.
And it just so happens to be fucking Steve, who is her stalker. And so she imagines her stalker, which I feel like maybe the book was trying to be like, see, they were both stalking each other. But, yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah. But no, it's one thing to like think about someone and imagine them. And
another to follow them taking photos of them.
And like go to their place of work and try and figure out a way to like get in there and pretend that you left something there so that way you can get onto set and like see them and be around them.
Yeah,
and then knock on their trailer door.
Plotting. And also, this is the moment where like it was sort of acting like it was going to red herring Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Is when he was like filled with rage because like, why wouldn't she just give him a chance? But then that yeah. stops so...
Which doesn't make sense to me.
Actually talking, it doesn't make sense. No,
you know what? This is pre the Netflix show. You
very true. It is very and, pre that,
and it shows.
You know what? This is pre you, and it shows.
It shows. But so she gets this acting job. She's she also like keeps coming back to her trailer and being like, someone's been in here, and then like looking at her script. She's like, someone wrote something scary on my script. Or she's like, ooh, someone did scary things on my mirror. Ooh, someone exploded my the director's assistant.
Oh, so scary.
That one is scary. That one is scary. She does have a right to be scared after literally watching a woman
explode.
She has like it ramps up pretty big. It's like scary letters.
It's like, oh no, scary message on my answering machine.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, there's a bookmark where I die in the script.
Oh my God.
Oh no, someone wrote tomorrow you die on my mirror. Oh no, Amanda exploded.
And like she sees her like meat face and like hands blown off, just plomp onto the ground, and she's like,
"Ooh." And it's like, that's fair.
And then Randy shows up, yeah, and is like, "Did someone make lasagna?
Where are those signs I heard so much about?"
No, Randy shows up and she's like, "I believe you." And Christina's like, "Thank you. Now hurry off back to school where you belong, and I'll stay here on set where I belong."
Now you hurry to the background.
Yeah, because we can't have you on page and too much. Mm-hmm. And that happens because Amanda is opening everyone's mail because she wants to make sure that nobody is like talking shit about Driesling.
Which does not make any sense.
No.
Why would she be opening Christina's mail?
No.
Explain yourself, Amanda.
Also, they're
sorry
shooting
to victim blame, but
yeah. And they're also shooting like on location at a castle. Mm-hmm. So we've got another North American castle.
Just like our favorite movie, A Castle for Christmas.
Oh yeah. Patreon.com/teencreeps. Although that one is not not about a American castle. It's about an American in a castle.
In a Scottish castle.
In a Scottish castle.
Yeah. So they are actually shooting on location.
Yeah. Which happens to be in the town that Christina grew up in.
Which is why she gets the role for some reason.
Yeah.
For some reason, and then, they want to hire a local.
Yeah. Local unknown talent for this. Which that is the other whatever.
That is the other whatever.
I mean, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it.
It's no, Kelly, say what you were going to say.
I just feel like, look, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I guess talent can come from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you should limit yourself to the town that you're shooting in. Like, I don't think you should be like, we are definitely going to get somebody from this town.
Well, not just like shouldn't, but like why at all?
Why would you?
Why is it all? Why not someone as famous as Kurt?
Yeah.
Why not a Brat Pack actress?
Oh, yeah, because they keep calling him a Brat Pack actor.
Which is very funny.
It is. It really dates the book.
It does.
Because let's see, this book,
1993. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That fits. He's like an old, he's getting older.
Yeah. But he's totally disgusting. He keeps trying to like kiss on her
really
and touch
gross
her.
And bad. We don't like him at all ever.
He doesn't die, does he?
No, he doesn't. He has very little to do with it after Steve's on the scene. Because apparently he does just like really respect relationships.
Yeah.
And like once he found out that she said no because she was in a committed relationship, which she was not, he just is like so respectful of that, which makes perfect sense for a predator to do.
Yep.
Stupid.
Well, I guess he like respects fucking another stupid man's property as opposed to a woman's autonomy. Yeah. He's like, oh, I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to step on my friend's.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, bro. Didn't realize she's taken.
Yeah.
It's very that.
Yeah. Yeah. But so then there's like a series of like chases and fights that happen in a castle, which I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't know existed until we were there.
I did. But like, once we are there, it's confusing to me.
Oh, because it's very labyrinthine and there's a lot of running around and hiding behind cabinets and crouching behind in alcoves and running up and down and around and
and all every which way.
And there's candles. Oh, wait, but then some people don't have candles. And then there's like screaming down the halls and darting all around and Mr. X and all this stuff. That was the other part. Like, I did get confused, like, with the physics of the scene when she was like, I'm running from the killer. And she, like, runs into this room and she's like, she's like, I can't possibly hide under the bed. And she's like, I can't possibly hide inside of the armoire. And then she sees this alcove and she's like, ah, yes, I will hide behind this dresser drawer that's in the alcove. So then she scoots it forward. And so I was like, okay, so I guess she's just like standing behind this thing. And then it was like, and then she saw a pair of beat up Reeboks right next to her face. And I was like, wait, what? And then it turned out she was laying down. So that part I was really confused about.
Yep.
That. And just where anybody was. Oh, right. Steve is on the lam because the police think that he did it because he's a stalker. So he's been like hiding in different places. So like one of the places he hid in was her trailer. And then the other place he was hiding was the castle. And I love how quickly her suspicion of him evaporates when she's like he finds her and she's like, ah, you've been the killer all along. And he's like, no, I've been hiding here from the police. And she's like, okay.
It's like, all right.
Oh, okay.
Well, there goes that scare.
But then he has the prop gun. Remember? Mm-hmm. And he like squibs himself.
Yes, he does.
He pulls a Darren Brown on himself and fakes his own death.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
have you watched that thing yet? The immigrant thing? The Darren Brown?
What?
The sacrifice?
What?
Oh my God. I've talked about this on the show. I've talked about this on the show and I've screamed about how everyone needs to watch it. It's Darren Brown, the guy that does like just like mind tricks on people.
Oh, that guy. I don't know why I can't keep that guy's name in my head.
Because it's a very boring name.
I guess so.
Darren Brown, mm-hmm. Dan Brown. Dan Brown, Illuminati. Illuminati, Da Vinci Code. Have you read the Da Vinci Code?
Yes, I have.
It's really bad.
It's very bad. I was figuring out all of the clues.
You know why people like my dad like the Da Vinci Code?
Why?
Because it lets them believe.
Because they got to figure out the clues.
Yeah. It lets them believe that they can do this kind of shit. And it's like, I hate to tell you, man. I hate to tell you, but like, if you really were like doing Illuminati shit, like you wouldn't be able to figure that stuff out.
Nope.
Like, I'm a fucking genius. Yeah. I know where all the clues
are. That probably is why it's like, if it was really hard, then we would just be like, huh?
Yeah. But otherwise people are like, oh, I figured out the clues. I'm so smart. I could be Tom Hanks's character. Right.
Although
Tom
I did, name? I have complained about this before, about figuring out before, and other people didn't.
That you complained that you figured it out?
Yeah. And other people hadn't figured it out. I'm like, smart people.
Well, here's.
It's like, but what also, not everybody is actually trying to.
Yeah, they're just enjoying
other
the story.
People are just like enjoying what they're doing. Or just but, like happy and living their lives.
No, but Lindsay, no. But. Here's the thing. Da Vinci Code, that's the whole thing about it is like unravel the code. So you were just doing what the marketing was telling you to do. It's not like you were like watching or it's not like you were reading just like any old book and being like, yes, I could write this better. You know, it was a book that's like the unbreakable code of the Da Vinci Code. Only geniuses can do it. So it's like, okay, I guess I'll. So you're like, okay, I'll do the assignment. I'll try and solve the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah. It's just other people don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, there's different types, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Different types of minds.
Yeah.
Different people like different things. I feel like I am very investigative. So anything that, like, if there's any kind of mystery, I'm like, oh, I want to solve it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you're like that. Like,
yep.
Whenever we read any of these books, we're always like, okay, who's the killer? Who's this? And I mean, this is more nowadays than when you were reading the Da Vinci Code, I'm sure. But like, I can't help it. But anytime I read or see a mystery, because we've read so many mysteries, right?
Yeah.
Hundreds.
Too many.
I'm immediately like, okay, well, it's not that person. I see what this author or person's trying to do.
Picking everything apart.
Yeah, where I'm like, okay, it's not them. It's probably this person. And so I really, really, really respect when a show either A, like accurately and succinctly and like skillfully can trick me, or B, even if I can call it, the ride is enjoyable anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So like Mare of Easttown, I felt like I
did not guess it.
I did not guess that it was who it was,
mm-hmm.
until probably like, I think the episode that we learn it, I was suspecting that person. But up until then, I was like, who knows? Who is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think like that show really, really like skillfully had enough clues that you'd be like, okay, interesting. and you can see where all of the pieces of yarn go.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if a show does it, and even if I can tell it, I still really enjoy the show. But I just have learned that there are a lot of really bad mysteries out there. Really sloppy fucking mysteries.
It's really fucking hard. It's really hard to write a mystery.
It's really, really hard.
I don't know that I could do it. I have not tried.
And I think it's easier to do a mystery on the screen than in a book, because you can put something on the screen or put something in an actor's performance or whatever that someone could miss. But like in a book, everything is being read. So, you know, like
they're absorbing it on like a much more slow
and intentional.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, I'm read like there, unless you're skimming really hard, you have to. Everything that you learn from the book, you are reading, as opposed to there's like a million different sources for like a show or TV or movie.
Yep. It's true.
It's true.
It's true. It's true.
Speaking of really good mysteries, I just have to give a shout out to a game that I think is really fucking good. And you guys should check it out if you like playing games. Inscription on, I think it's only on PC, unfortunately. Check it out. If you play games and if you like kind of like unfolding a mystery, but also like a deck builder card game and also roguelike, like I think it does things with gaming that like I haven't seen before, and I really, really recommend it.
Nice.
That's just, I have to shout it out.
I must shout it.
I do because it's really good. This book does the thing that you and I have complained about where she tries to tell the cops and they're like,
the fact
look
that
little Missy.
Yeah. You let us do our jobs and we'll let you do your job. They think it's like a publicity stunt she's trying to arrange. And I will say,
after Jussie Smollett.
that wasn't what I was going to say, but fair point. Mm-hmm. I will say, when they're like, okay, so where's the message? Play the message for us. And she's like, oh, I deleted the message. Okay. Oh, and I also wiped off the paint from my window. Oh, and I also like can't find the bookmark and like absolutely none of this. I have evidence on all of these things that were done. I have gotten rid of all of it.
Yeah.
I would be kind of like, well, did you want us to be able to look into this?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like I would have been like, well, then why the fuck?
Why are we
here? Okay,
then like give us a call. I will say it's uncalled for to accuse her of doing a publicity stunt, but it is fair that they're like, okay, well, I guess call us if it happens again and please save the evidence.
Yeah. Time. Yeah.
So, you know, fair.
Yeah.
In that
I actually
regard.
Thought
but
that
they are really dismissive.
Yes. And the one cop is like kind of a douche where he's just like,
oh, yeah. And he like asks her parents to leave the room for that part, too,
ew,
which is
ew,
so
I
did shitty.
Not like that.
Really creepy.
Yeah.
You never ask parents to leave the room ever.
No.
Unless you're going to be like, okay, like you can tell me like, did
like
you
in
have,
Mare
like,
Vista.
Are you having sex with this person? Are you doing drugs? You're not
right,
in trouble
right,
for
right.
it. Like, I won't tell your parents. We just need it for the investigation. Unless you're being cool,
right.
you're doing it for cool reasons.
Yeah, to like
you
protect
don't ask
the kid.
The parents to leave the room.
Well, and you need that information. But this is more like,
no, this
like,
is just
we just want to embarrass
douchery.
Her.
Yeah. I just want to really belittle you and make you feel terrible.
Yeah. Well, then guess what, dog? Fuck off.
Yeah. Guess what, dog?
Fuck off.
Fuck right off.
So Christina's like, so she's like terrorized throughout the filming. Oh, this part, I got so mad, especially, you know what? Because we were, look, a lot of stuff's happening right now. We're coming off of the whole like Rust situation.
Mm-hmm.
When nobody bothers to check to see if the coffin that she's going to be locked in has breathing holes.
I believed that.
I did believe it. I mm-hmm. did believe it, and I was furious.
Yeah. Yeah, that would absolutely happen.
Yep.
That's fucked up.
Yep. And someone needed to have...
Well, the problem is it was John who was asked to do it, and it turns out John is trying to kill her.
That's true. Or at least scare her away and then eventually turns to wanting to kill her. Like, his motives are unclear.
Very. It's just like, you broke up with me, I want to... And they talk about how his motives are kind of unclear.
Yeah.
It's like, well, like, may it... I apparently when we broke up, he was more hurt than I realized. And also, like,
yeah,
maybe he thought that if I got fired, Beryl would for some reason take my place. But probably it's mostly just the breakup.
I did also actually, you know what was, to this book's credit, one of the more skillful ways to, like, mislead John being the killer, or his motive at least, was when Beryl was like, you broke his fucking heart, you are a bitch, like, you know, like when she was saying, mm-hmm. like, you dumped my brother, and she's just like, okay, Beryl, like, whatever. But he probably told Beryl that, you know, like, he probably,
yeah,
was, it, like,
turns out, yeah,
yeah. So that actually, in retrospect, that was cool.
Mm-hmm. That did give it away.
Yeah,
it's just that we had only ever seen John be fine, yeah, with her.
Yeah,
have a good, like, very
good boundaries, like, which very is, fine and normal.
Which, like, yeah, people are hiding how they really feel. So I believe that. It was just that one scene where he was, like, eavesdropping on Beryl that I didn't believe.
Yeah. And then, yeah, he corners her. But then guess what? Steve. Oh, that's right. Steve squibs himself. So he, like, pretends to get shot. So this is the other thing. I thought that he was going to, like, something was going to pay off about John thinking that the gun was real, but it didn't really.
Yeah,
it was just did. What happened?
Well, he shot Steve.
Yeah, but I mean, after that, like he quote shot Steve, and that, like, made him, because he didn't know at the time when he was, like, fake shooting that, mm-hmm. it was real. And then so, like, the thing that made him think it was real was him shooting Steve, which, like, then the squibs go off, since Steve pretend dies.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, like, that someone else would get the gun away from him and then make him think that he was going to get shot. Oh, you know what I mean? What, like,
yeah, it was not enough of a payoff. It's like, well, why did he need to think that the gun was real?
Right. Exactly. Like, payoff for the, yes, gun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but instead, okay, they were just, so, like, oh, he fell.
It was like, oh, my plan was to make him think that he took me out so that then I could attack him. But unfortunately, I really sold my performance about falling and dying and knocked myself unconscious.
Yeah. Because then he knocks himself unconscious like an idiot.
You stupid idiot.
And then the way that John, John does die. Oh, John dies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because he falls off
balcony,
of
gives way
balcony. So that's the other thing, right? Is that, like, if she had got the gun away from him and was, like, pointing it at him, and then he, like, gets scared and, like, walks off the balcony backwards or something,
mm-hmm.
or, like, backs up onto the balcony and then it breaks and then he falls to his death. It just, I just felt like that gun. Again, I'm nitpicking, but I would have liked to see the gun matter more.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's like, Steve, there was no real,
right, benefit. He could have pretended to fall and die.
His death that, yeah, dramatically.
Exactly. It was more like you know what? What do
you think you accomplished here?
That's what it was. It was a fake out to us,
yeah,
the audience. When, if you are going to do a fake out to us, the audience, it also needs to matter narratively.
Yeah, but it, like, didn't.
It didn't at all.
Because he gets knocked unconscious. And so he does get taken out.
Yeah. So he is taken out for the fight. So it's just her and him.
So it's actually, it's sort of like a spiritual sister to the John eavesdropping on Beryl thing, where it's, yeah, like, okay, but that means something.
Yeah.
And you didn't follow through.
Yeah. Because
you just set it up to try to trick us, but not, it didn't, exactly, have a clever payoff. You were just,
he
lying.
Could have just literally done the second part, which is fall, yeah, and, like, have a thing fall on him.
Yeah, the gun part didn't need to happen. He could have just fallen and still been.
Yeah.
And then been still, like, think, oh, that, like,
he's, I was knocked dead out. And, yeah. And
Christina's going to get chased by John more.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
But no worries. He falls to his death.
Mm-hmm. And then don't worry. Steve and Christina definitely end up together.
They 100,000% end up together.
Yeah, because did we even talk about how the police find Steve's locker full of photos and fully think, have, like, a Steve manhunt?
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
she's
why.
Still, yes, talking to him?
Yeah, because we mentioned it, because that's, yeah, where he's, like, hiding in her.
Yeah, okay.
In her thing, and he's, like, on the lam for a while. And she, oh, that's right. And then he shows up at her house, which is another stalker move.
Curled up on a tree branch going, help.
And she's like, come on in. But it's like, girl, no. This man stalked you. For all you know, he is the killer. And he's now at your home.
It's tricky because, like, no, it wasn't him. But, like, you still you don't know that.
Exactly. She's just lucky that
the
she was right.
The whole thing is that it's like, oh, she feels it.
I know.
And isn't that special? And aren't they meant for each other? It's very
the way that this fucking ends. Okay, so she smiled up at him sweetly. Next time you decide to rescue me, please don't wait until I'm hanging by my fingertips 5 floors above a stone patio. Next time, he teased. Think you'll run into some more crazed fans? I hope not, but if I do, will you be around? Definitely, he promised, squeezing her tightly. Not only that, I'll be your personal exercise trainer. I hear every star has one these days. I'll whip you into shape. His cheeks flushed. I mean, well, even better shape than you're in. Christina grinned, feeling like the luckiest girl in the world. She dared to dream and take on tough challenges. Now she had her career, a loyal friend, and a great guy. What more could a girl ask for? The end.
That ending is so funny. The take on tough challenges line is so funny to me.
It's so like edutainment.
I think I laughed out loud. It's like tough. She got a acting job.
Yeah.
Take on tough challenge. Okay.
By take on tough challenges, do you mean
challenges?
Like being the victim of, like,
can have it all.
Stalking?
Yeah. Like, she took on tough challenges, like in so far as that she had to try to not get murdered.
Wow.
Challenges.
What more can a girl ask for?
She took them on and she faced them and she defeated the challenge.
And nevertheless, she persisted.
And, girl, the future is female.
I also like to...
Way to not get murdered. You're really today's woman.
the way that they explain, like, everything, too, is so just, like, info dump. Like, at the very... Like, literally the last three pages is just them telling Randy what happened.
Yes.
So she's like, so
classic
while I was gone, book. I read all about what happened in the paper, but none of the articles really explained why John was out to get you, Chris. And then they're like, well, let's explain.
We're not really sure.
Oh, and then this part, she's like, I wish we could have at least talked on the phone, but you know my dad and long distance calls. So here's all the information now. And so it's like literally three pages.
You almost got murdered and your dad wouldn't let you take a long distance phone call to your best friend about it.
Seriously.
Come on, dad. Fucking ease up.
And then, yeah. So then it's just like them each giving like a bunch of exposition and then Randy going like, you're kidding. Oh, and I thought he was so nice. And like all of her little comments, blowing you up seems like overkill to me. And then...
The newspaper said there was a gun? Sheeple Winkle. But why did he wait until so late to go after you? And the gun? How come nobody's answering me about this fucking gun?
God, just because I'm plain doesn't mean I don't deserve answers. I don't deserve a boyfriend, but I do deserve an answer on this gun.
Nobody's responding to anything I'm saying. Am I a ghost? Am I dead? Like, what's happening here?
And then she just keeps like all she does is like respond to what they're saying. So then they give more information. And then she's like, what? That's one thing she says. and then she just stands there while Christina and Steve kind of just like goo goo gaga at each other. And she's just like, and also Randy. And then that's
and
it.
I'm Lurleen.
Yes.
Is that what that character's name is in those sketches?
And I'm
Lurleen?
Is it Denise?
No, Junice.
No, it's Junice.
No, it's Junice.
Is it? I always thought of it as Junice Maybe I just thought that because my sister's name is Denise.
Yeah, and I was always like, Junice.
Oh, I thought it was Dunies.
I think it's Junice. I mean, you're certainly closer than I was. See. I was saying Lurleen.
And I'm.
You said Denise, which is quite close.
Nope. And I'm Dunice.
Nuh-uh. Well, I looked up Junice and a bunch of Lawrence Welk show videos came up.
Okay. Because I'm seeing talented Kristen Wiig as Dunice in SNL, The Sound of Music. Lawrence Welk show This Day in SNL History. Who is Dunice? Dunice Morrell is one of the four Morrell sisters who sing on SNL's version of the Lawrence Welk show, Kristen Wiig's 12 funniest characters.
So it's just other people are also hearing. Oh, yeah. Dunice.
It's Dunice. D-O-O-N-E.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
And I'm Dunice.
Thought she was saying Junice for the last 10 fucking years.
Well, it sounds similar, though. Because, like, listen.
Yes.
And I'm Dunice. That could be Junice.
It could be.
And I'm Junice. That's, like, the same.
Weird. I prefer Junice because that's what I thought was happening.
I prefer Dunice because I always thought it was a funny play on my sister's name and thought it was a funny troll on her.
That's a great sketch. I was thinking about that sketch recently.
It's a very funny sketch. It's so
simple and funny and weird.
Yeah, it's so... I always like those like very simple but very strange sketches. I always liked those ones. Ah, well. But yeah, that is fan mail. So I guess the moral of the story is if someone's stalking you...
Give them a chance.
That just means they really love you.
If someone's stalking you, use them to help find your murderer.
Exactly.
If someone's stalking you, then they're the best kind of bodyguard because they're already by you all the time.
All the time. And the thing they care about the most is you.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't even have to, you know what I mean? It's like, don't get someone that it's just a job.
Yeah.
Get someone that's passionate about it. And that's your stalker.
Because if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Oh my God.
Which is a lie. If you do what you love, then what you love becomes work.
Well, then you're working every day of your fucking life.
Yep.
If you are a stalker and you become a bodyguard, then you get to stalk them all the time. Like that is the best job.
If you're a stalker personality, shift the paradigm and make it your career.
Yeah, look, if you take the Enneagrams test and your Enneagram is stalker, then you should do the career of bodyguard.
Or PI.
And or just PI. Say
that somebody's investigating them.
Mm-hmm.
But then you don't make money. Be the bodyguard.
Be the bodyguard. And
although they might not necessarily need a bodyguard.
Okay, so this is what you do. You stage a near-death experience for this person. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The person that you want to stalk professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come in. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just stopped this wave from hitting you.
Yeah.
I don't wave. Know.
Oh my God. The ocean just tried to kill you, girl.
Yeah. So I can also help you on land. So do two. Do one in the water and then do one on land. So you do the wave thing first and you're like, oh my God, this wave almost hit you. I protected you. And then you do one, like, I don't know, what's a land thing that you could protect someone from?
A fjord.
Great. So
you go to the fjord.
Right. So I think what you need to do is like incorporate water in every instance of your protection of this person, because water is life.
So true.
And then you protect them, and then you say, like, wouldn't you love if I could protect you all the time? Here's my card.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good.
And then while they're thinking about it, because they're gonna be like, I need to think about it, you need to also stage another near-death experience.
Or it's just like
for them.
Put out your services as a bodyguard and do the mental work involved to become obsessed with your client.
Oh, sure. Okay. Right.
So like
one way or the other.
So like chicken before the egg in a way.
Okay. So you start working for this client. What you need to do, okay, you know that thing where you stare into someone's eyes for 4 minutes and then you ask them like, what's your relationship like with your mom? And then that's supposed to make you fall in love.
Right. Those questions.
So do that.
Yeah. Do those questions with them.
With them.
So you can become obsessed.
So you become obsessed. And then that is obsessed and deranged, just by the way.
Be obsessed with your client.
Like, yes.
If you can't be with the client you're obsessed with, be obsessed with the client you're with.
And then you have to test yourself, right? You have to be like, am I obsessed with this person? So you need to put them in peril. Mm-hmm. And then do you automatically try to jump in the way?
You forgot to do drills.
So you have to do drills. Mm-hmm. Take them. You're going to have to go back to the beach and get them in front of a wave. Yeah. See?
Practice.
Do I jump in front of the wave for them?
And then
go to the fjord.
Top of your field.
Top of your field. And again, I mean, I know that you've heard about our 12 tapes for acting. We also, this is, we have a 12 tape set as well for bodyguard success.
Mm-hmm. Bodyguard success.
So check that out.
One obsession at a time.
One obsession at a time.
Yep.
One obsession at a time.
Yep. And that was fan mail.
I do recommend fan mail.
Thank you again to the listener who sent it to us. It was a good read.
It was a good read. Beautiful cover as well.
Yeah, very fun.
And
thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to everybody who supports us on Patreon. If you would also like to support us on Patreon, go to patreon.com/teencreeps, where we've got a lot of extra content for those who donate. A special shout out to our Patreon producers who give it the $15 level because they're crazy generous. Thank you.
Who giveth.
Giveth at the $15 level.
Give it the
thank you to Aaron Fernandez.
Adam Howarth.
Amanda Mangle.
Amy T.
Dwyer.
Ashley Fritz.
Brian Petty II.
Claire Moore.
Cody McPhail.
Danielle LaMada.
Danny B.
Drew W.
Emma.
Aaron B.
Gabriela Santiago.
Jenna Fernandez.
Gwendolyn Ludovic.
Jeremy Kronk.
Jeremy Goodfellow and Marco Pavlicic.
Jessica Smith Harper.
Jessica Yu.
Jonathan Venable.
Karen Lewis.
Kat Miller.
Kitty Lily.
Katie Osner.
Keith Anderson.
Kelly Burns.
Doria Keth.
Chris Darina.
Landry Desmond.
Mary Nguyen.
Laura Hooper.
Luke Bartek.
Mandalay Walschlager.
Max B.
Megan Lothier.
Mel Leo.
Melody.
Micah Yunus.
Miguel Camacho.
Miranda Hester.
Molly G.
Molly Marks.
Noah Spargo.
Rachel Bessert.
Randy Clip.
Rebecca Goff.
Ro Kalehua.
Saoirse Descaro.
Sarah Wallen.
Sasha Gibson.
Phil VT.
Tristan Buckner.
Victoria Beck.
Victoria Gray.
And Victoria Valdez.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. We can't always do a fun bit for the thank yous, but sometimes it's good to do a fun bit.
We can't all sound like the Mad Hatter for no reason.
The Mad Hatter / the Count from Sesame Street.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a little mix. Yeah. It's like they hung out together for like the weekend.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. We really appreciate you. Please get vaccinated, get boosted, stay safe out there, and keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.